The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you, as always, by all of our patrons. Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. Not only do you support the show, you become a part immediately of our patron-only Discord. You get the link to the Discord, the coolest place to watch live wrestling. Not the sweaty gangbangs that you'll find on YouTube, on YouTube comments or on Reddit or on Facebook groups. No, you want to recreate the best time you ever had watching wrestling with a bunch of old friends. You can do it in our Discord. Go ahead and check it out. Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, as we roll into the 25th anniversary, of Raw, we bring you 1-900 Wrestling. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me as always is Willie Nose Gregory.
What's going on, man? Good to see you. My voice is actually kind of screwing with me a little bit today, too.
Oh, that's awesome. We are playing hurt.
Yeah.
The two of us. I'm sick. I swear to God, I've been trying to avoid. I've been dip, duck, diving, and dodging this flu that has killed everybody in my life for the past 3 months. Like, have you noticed this with the flu? The flu, it's like not only is it everyone I know, it's every podcast I listen to, it's every television show, movies,
you find a way.
Everybody.
Mine is a little different. I wouldn't say I'm sick, but so I've been doing weird things with my sleep schedule for a while now, and the most recent thing I did was watch the Hearthstone World Championship, which was happening in Amsterdam. So yeah, we like live streamed it with Garrett during the finals, and that was, I thought that it was going to start at the same time it had been starting. But apparently for the finals, they only had 3 matches, so they ended up starting it at like 8:30, but I was up at 5 after being out until 2.
Oh, no.
I was like, okay, I got to be up at 5 to get ready to watch this.
No!
Before that, it had been starting at like 1 a.m. and then going until like 11 a.m. So, but this time it didn't start until about 8:30 or so. But yeah, me and Garrett did it, and we talked a lot during that. And then I was like, okay, I got to go to bed. Then I woke up and I was like, I got to go back to bed or else I'm going to be screwed. So, bunch of weird stuff with my body right now, but we'll make it through.
We are. Might be a little bit more abbreviated today, but you want to know what we got a lot to talk about. So we're going to start with this, new signings to the, Performance Center, Candice LeRae, Ricochet and War Machine, which is a pretty rad class,
as they've taken the new
tradition is you get a picture in your Performance Center shirts, I guess, like on your first day. Now, all these are expected. Candice had her last indie event at a match, very fittingly, with Joey Ryan at Bar Wrestling last week. Which of these four do you think we will see prominently featured first?
You know, I got to guess War Machine. They're probably like the most WWE ready out of these guys, although Candice LeRae is very likely to be in the Rumble, right? The women's Rumble, because they only have, I think, 19 women signed up now, and they gotta fill that out. So
you know, maybe I think that there's other women who have probably been more established on WWE TV that could plug into that. But
sure, wait, don't need to have them all be women actually signed, right?
You would say the War Machine's more ready than Ricochet?
As far as just like a product, yeah, I think so. Ricochet's, this is the biggest rub on him, is that how does WWE protect his lack of promo skills and things like that? Like, obviously, Ricochet's going to go out and put on a good match, but War Machine is like, not only are they like, they're just a super good tag team, and they're also super big, you know, and there's also like 5 or 6 built-in opponents for them ready to rock right now. Ricochet, I don't know, man. I know the guy's going to be great, but is he going to 205 Live? Is he going to the main roster? He's on NXT for like a year, 6 months?
I mean, that's what I, you know, it's hard because I think he is so good. But Ricochet is one of those dudes who can step in and hold that NXT title for a year if they want. I mean, I guess here is the question that we don't know when it comes to Ricochet and War Machine, to be honest with you. When are they looking at cycling out some of that talent? Because like a year ago, they had a big talent raid for WWE, and they had to do a lot of filling, right? There was a lot of guys that had to step up.
Sure. But okay, so if that happens, does that mean Aleister Black, Roderick Strong, Velveteen Dream, none of those guys see the title? Like, if it's just Ricochet's time all of a sudden, like, we still got to give it to Adam Cole at some point? Like, I don't know. Like, he's a little behind
the title is not, does not linearly go where it's supposed to go. Tyler Breeze, despite the fact that he was just as big of a star, never got the title, right? And now the NXT is a bigger thing. I mean, look. You can make the argument that half the guys at the top of that roster probably should at some point. I mean, like, they're certainly good enough to have it. But the question is, what would you rather be, an NXT champion, or would you rather be starring every night on or every week on SmackDown and Raw and getting all the checks for those house shows?
Yeah, I don't know. I really do think that Adam Cole is going to have the title at some point, and I really think that Aleister Black is going to have the title at some point. Like, I don't think those guys are going up to the main roster anytime soon. Velveteen Dream might be a guy who doesn't ever see it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and Roderick Strong might be a guy who never sees it either. But that's fine. I think those guys are fine on their own. But I do think that Adam Cole is being groomed as the next one. And then Ricochet comes in and, like, He shakes that whole damn thing up, right? So, plus we've also heard that Lashley and EC3 are potentially coming back to the WWE. So there's a kind of it might be a little bit of a glut around who the hot new star is right now.
Now, would you put, all right? So understanding that
those guys don't go to NXT, I don't think. So,
I mean, I'll tell you what, I think EC3 on NXT would be next level.
It would be awesome, yeah.
Because look at what happened with Bobby Roode. When Bobby Roode first came to NXT, I didn't give a rat's ass about him. Not necessarily because I didn't like what I had seen previously, but sure. he was in this kind of weird position where it's like being great on TNA is X, right? And I think that NXT right now, because of the houses that they play, because of the vibe there, you can step in as an A-lister, like the best at Impact, and be better than an average person at NXT. Because you're used to a certain level of stage presence. You're used to being treated like the top guy. You can act like the top guy a little bit more than somebody who is at a different career trajectory. I think EC3.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. EC3, I think, would kill it. Now, can I give you my pitch?
I think so, too. I mean, he's freaking hilarious, and he's really good in the ring as well. But, like, his personality is just what carries that guy to me. And, you know, and Lashley is, like, the physical freak, and he's just insane. So, yeah, if one of those guys goes up and one guy goes to NXT, yeah. I would like to see it.
Well, and Lashley has a past with the WWE. Yeah. So it's, like, mm-hmm. immediately he's a nostalgia guy second he walks through the curtain. Now, here's where I think we're going to first see Candice LeRae, and it will not be at the Women's Rumble. I believe that at some point, Johnny Gargano, in his fight for the NXT Championship at the next TakeOver, is going to have to deal with interference from Zelina Vega, the manager for Andrade Cien Almas. I believe that Candice LeRae will make her presence felt, even up the odds, only to have a returning Tommaso Ciampa tilt the scales. If I were to read the tea leaves, those would be the tea leaves that I would read. And I think that, you know, Candice would be a perfect plug-in for that. Now, I mean, the question is where you go from there. You know, is she a second to Johnny just to get her established, right? Just to get her screen time without having to immediately plug her into the women's? Or do you plug her right into the women's scene? You never know.
Yeah, I mean, right now there's a lot going on there. That's a division that is just insanely jam packed right now. And I think if anything, WWE is creating a bit of a problem where they just have too much, right?
Well, I mean, hell, look, that division stacked and they just got rid of six people. or five people. Yeah. They threw five women up to the main roster, and it's still like, oh my God, there's a lot of talent here. There's like four legitimate people that probably deserve that title.
Yeah, and you can't. Yeah, there's not enough. There's not enough titles to go around right now, and it's kind of insane. But she, you know, she would do well, I think, in either role. But I do think it's kind of, it might be one of those things that's very cool when, like, WWE doesn't have a big history of this. You know, think about Lana and Rusev of, you know, the valet suddenly turns out to actually be an awesome wrestler.
I mean, what, Carmelo? Carmelo would probably be
kind of sell it that way, right?
Carmelo would be the last one, right?
Yeah. But even her, she always kind of felt like she was already her own individual. Well, I guess because I kept up with her on NXT first, right?
So, yeah.
But yeah, like that's just not really how they have generally done it very well in the past. So this would be a good opportunity for that to happen. All the awesome women wrestlers are just always kind of on their own to begin with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, have her come in like that. And then all of a sudden she just kicks some ass. Oh man, I'm all in for that. I think it's a great idea.
The only question with Candace is, you know, and I don't think that it's a bad thing necessarily, but look, she made a lot of her name in intergender wrestling.
That's true.
Not something that they do in WWE.
But they've hinted at doing it more in the future. By the way, did you see the Wrestle Circus main event?
No. What is the Oh, yeah. Brian Cage versus Tessa Blanchard?
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
Now, okay. I'm all for intergender matches.
Yeah.
But I am very curious to see how they sell the fact that Tessa Blanchard can hurt Brian Cage.
Yeah. Yeah. The Tessa Blanchard, who is the size of Brian Cage's thigh.
Yeah, please show me how this is going to work.
Now, Brian Cage, the one thing about Brian Cage, slightly shorter than you think he's going to be in the ring.
Sure. No, yeah, he's not a tall man. Yeah.
But he's literally the
tall,
size.
Wide. He's a wide man.
Yeah, he's a wide. He is a gigantic box of a human that can also.
But that's true. He's not going to like dwarf her like otherwise physically. So yeah. But she's very small, too. So it's. I'm curious. If nothing else, this will have me tuning in to see what the hell happens here. Because, I have no idea how this is going to go. But, yeah, so, I mean, they have teased doing some more of that. And she would be great for that. Like, yeah, I would love to see them do that where they act. Because they have some tough women now, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, like, why can't Nia Jax just wrestle anybody, right? She's just as big as you know, half the roster, so.
Sure. Asuka, too. You know, I mean, Asuka's somebody that you could credibly see, you know, have a fantastic match, specifically with all, like, the 205 guys, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And even other guys. Like, yeah, I think of Finn Balor going up against any of the women. All right, I'll watch that, you know.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into something that is serious. That just broke as we were getting ready to come on here. Enzo Amore, the Cruiserweight champion, suspended indefinitely pending the results of a sexual assault investigation by police in Arizona. Do you have anything generally that you want to say about this? Because I have kind of a rant about the noise around it.
Well, I will say one thing. It's definitely getting a little fatiguing. This kind of stuff just continues coming out and
so just beyond wrestling, just in our culture
just
right
in
now.
Life, yeah, like that just like keeps happening. The other thing that is definitely fatiguing is that it's always done through social media. So then you've got every single human being on the planet seeming to have like something to say about it and. The discussion never seems to be anything but toxic as hell.
Yeah.
And you can't just be like, oh man, that's really unfortunate. Like it's either she's definitely lying or he's definitely a pig or this is blah. Like it's always, there's never like, hey, let's wait and see what happens here. But man, I really hope that, you know, everybody's okay in this scenario here. That's never what happens. So, That's also getting fatiguing as well, and
I think to be clear, so people hear you right, you're not saying women coming forward is fatiguing. Just it is disheartening to see so much of this now that the floodgates are kind of open.
Yeah. No, look, it's not fatiguing to have women like actually say what's happening to them.
Yeah.
What's fatiguing is the conversations that continue to happen in the fact. Yeah, it's all done in the court of public opinion. So it's like it seems like there's no like healthy conversation happening anymore. Now it's just a bunch of crazy coming from everybody. So I'm hoping that the crazy part of this starts to slow down and the healing part starts to speed up because the change that everyone keeps saying, like, oh, it's really important we're having this national conversation. I'm like, man, I am not noticing all of the healing that.
Well, because I don't think
on the end of this,
I don't think we have done any healing, nor do I think that we are close to the healing part. I think we are still at the disinfectant. Like, you know, when you have a scrape and you got to like pour like the rubbing alcohol or whatever on it, to, like disinfect it.
Sure.
Like we're still at that point.
Well, okay. But the fact that you just had to make sure that people who are listening to this were clear that I'm not saying I'm like, because that's where we're at now.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, there's like one right answer in everybody's head, and if you say anything other than whatever that answer might be, people are immediately jumping down each other's throats, and that's what's like not fun to watch.
No, 100%. All right, so real quick facts before we get into other stuff. This is unlike what we've seen in our pop culture over the last couple weeks and months, in that this is not like an old allegation that is now being brought forth. Like, this wasn't like I knew Enzo in high school and he took liberties. This is something that a woman is claiming in Phoenix, that this happened at a hotel room. She went to the hospital that night. She called the police that night. God knows why it's taken this long. We are at the beginning of January. It happened at the beginning of October. So it has certainly been a little bit. But that's where we are at right now. This became a thing because she came out on Twitter and told her story, and follow-up reporting has brought out the fact that this is still something that is being investigated by authorities in Phoenix. Here's all I want to say in summation. Keep your powder dry on this. I think everybody. Beyond, this is horrifyingly troubling, specifically if it is true. There is, in my opinion, as a fan of Enzo Amore, who follows Enzo's Instagram and his Snapchat, I don't think that there is any element, not that we should ever read somebody's public persona to be their private actions, but there is certainly no sign that the lifestyle he led would preclude activities like this. And not to say that everybody who parties and everybody who turns up and wants to show up on Instagram is a rapist by any means, but from what that lady described, sounded like this was a party situation that took a dark, troubling turn. All I would say to anybody who listens to this show, it's fine to sit out the opinion portion of this particular case until there is some kind of resolution. You're never going to get points. Right. At the gates of heaven, St. Peter's never going to be like, well, let me tally up your social media scores. You were right on the election and you were right on these rape allegations. Yeah. Like, it's fine. We can all let this play out and say we enjoyed Enzo's work. We hope that we get to the bottom of what is a very serious allegation. And that's, you know, I think that's just kind of my thing. Just don't be that guy or girl.
Well, yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think the thing that when you see the tweet and then there's suddenly a suspension, I think the thing that troubles me about that is, if there was a police report filed in October, why did he not get suspended until a tweet was made in January? Right?
Well, quite possibly it could be because WWE didn't know
exactly. You know, but.
According to Ryan Satin of Pro Wrestling Sheet, the investigation has been all but concluded. They are waiting on lab results.
Which apparently also take 4 months. So,
you know, I'll tell you what. Here's inside journalism with Justin. autopsies always took very, very long. Whenever you're dealing with a cause of death, that always took a long time. I in my limited experience with those with like rape investigations, I don't remember rape kits taking an extraordinarily long time. Although you could say, you know, if you know the other side of it, if Enzo refused to provide the authorities with matching stuff, then that's something that could be that could take a long time.
Or if like, you know, he's trying to get his lawyer involved, making trying to like stop up the works a little bit, that could also do some like we don't know the specifics, so it's just I find that all that kind of stuff kind of odd. One thing I don't think anybody should be doing, and this is the thing, this is kind of what the conversation needs to, I think, kind of center around a lot of times, is like, we need to stop then going through the girl's history human and like bringing that into question around an incident.
Finding every like, club pick or every, you know, every shitty thing she ever put on Twitter. Like,
yeah,
I mean, look, listen, man,
stop doing that. You guys,
here's one thing that I do hope changes, and we can all start it here. Is like, I've been a fan of sports most of my life. Many times when athletes are engaged in horrifyingly shitty behavior, I think we have all been on either side of it, right? Sometimes your favorite athletes do terrible things. Sometimes your the rival does something terrible, right? We don't need to draw the lines where I'm a wrestling fan, so I need to protect Enzo. Like, we can wait and see. All right, you want to know what? That's the news. We got to talk about the news. Doesn't mean we have to talk about it for long. Yeah,
so basically, all that really matters right now, as far as a wrestling podcast is concerned, he's suspended, which means I guess there ain't going to be a cruiserweight, the 205 Live title match, which was supposed to be at Royal Rumble. So again, that match running into some issues. 205 Live having some issues. Trying to keep their talent.
205 problems live. That's what that show's got.
Yeah.
Tell you what, time to give that call back to Neville. Be like, all right.
I know, right? Look, we were wrong. Please take us back. We need wrestlers.
All right, let's get back to wrestling. Here's the big story this week. Raw turns 25 tonight. A huge, huge show in the works. Should be beginning any minute now on the WWE Network, the pre-show. So many returning guests. This is going to be, for the first time, I think we might end the evening saying, man, that 3 hours went fast.
Yeah, well, this I'm looking at this and I'm wondering how they can fit this into 3 hours. They're going to have to do a bunch of combined segments with because it's something like 30 plus returning superstars.
Yeah.
Just blast from the past. Names like Stone Cold, The Undertaker, Ric Flair, Jericho, probably. I mean, I guess that been confirmed?
Jericho is confirmed.
Ted DiBiase, Christian, Dudley Boys. I mean, yeah. Ron Simmons, JBL, Kelly, oh my God. Godfather, Laurinaitis, MVP, Regal. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I would suspect there'll probably be a few of those behind the Scott scenes, Hall. Five or six of them.
Yeah.
You know, you got a lot of NWO folks there. I wouldn't be shocked to see them maybe alongside the reunited Bullet Club, the spiritual successor to the NWO. That would be a fun moment.
There's gonna have to be a bunch of them coming out all at the same time. Then they're gonna have segments alongside their newer counterparts, I'm sure, and things like that. I generally don't try to watch Raw live. I usually go back and I'm a skimmer, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of it's 3 hours.
It's 3 hours. It's three motherfucking hours. That's a lot. Yeah.
For like okay, so when I go see an event and I expect it to be 3 or 4 hours. Sometimes in Wrestle Circus's history, it's been 5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot. But you're live. You're at the show. You kind of expect that when you go see an event, you do want to have it last a long time, right? But on television, 3 hours, it sometimes does definitely seem to drag. Although, lately I've been enjoying a lot of what they've been doing, so it hasn't felt that way. This is one where I feel like it's just enough of an event that I kind of just want to be there as it happens.
Yeah. Right? There's also it's going to be streamed. It's going to be produced from two locations, both the Barclays Center and the Manhattan Center, where it all began 25 years ago. And pictures inside the Manhattan Center tonight reveal that the Ico Pro banner is indeed hung up over the rafters like it was back in the day. Ico Pro, of course, Vince McMahon's failed fitness regime.
Sure.
And then apparently we're being told now by Reverend Puck that there's a Legends Rumble on the network show. So that's where they'll probably blow through a lot of the lot of the old timers who can still get insured.
So there's a pre-show on the network before the actual USA broadcast?
Yeah, in fact, that might be on now. We might be counter-programming to the Raw 25th anniversary. Well, I'll tell you what. Maybe we'll make this one a little quicker. Let me go ahead and ask you this, Willie. What is your first memory of WWF Raw?
You know, I got to be honest. It's hard to because, you know, my real burned-in memories all kind of came on WrestleManias and Royal Rumbles and things like that. But I definitely do remember there's a few things. So the height of me really being into Raw and everything was definitely Attitude Era stuff.
Sure.
So for me, it's probably like, I don't know which thing happened first, but the two things that I definitely remember sitting and watching, I used to watch with my buddy Carlos, and we would both get pretty into it. It was like watching a sporting event for us, yeah. Right? Stone Cold with the beer truck. And when Mankind actually won the title over, was it The Rock?
It was with Mankind being seconded by DX to counteract the corporation in The Rock's corner. And then the final decisive help over the top by Stone Cold with one of the loudest.
I don't remember which one of those things actually happened first. That was just like, those are just
things
I actually remember from that time. It was funny, though. I think back on it now, I think we watched WCW more than we watched Raw.
I mean, as did many. That night is kind of, although the numbers kind of tell a slightly different story, but that night is looked at by both sides as the night that WCW got too cocky and WWF actually, like, cemented their rise.
Yeah, didn't they like, try to screw them over by saying, oh, Mankind is going to win the title, it already happened, and then everyone was like, what?
So this was a thing that WCW would do, that Eric Bischoff did constantly, was to spoil taped Raws, so it's like, whatever, you already know the end, just stay here, whatever happens here on Nitro is live. Except this time, he told everybody that something amazing was going to happen, and sure enough, it was fucking amazing. Everybody did change the channel, and that was that. Here was my favorite, and it's funny that you mentioned the Nitro thing. My first memory of Raw was Doink the Clown.
Oh, wow.
I remember watching it. I can't remember the segment. I can't remember what happened, but I remember watching Doink. And thinking, man, the WWF got stupid from when I last started watching it, like when I was a kid. Like, because at that point, I was a teenager, you know. I was like, this is dumb. So I switched over to Nitro. But then I'd always check back, always at commercials. Like, that is something, that is a pleasure that the kids these days, hashtag kids these days, will never truly know, is having peak Nitro and peak Raw. At the same, I mean, in fact, I would pay for there to be a network feature where you could just run the shows that happen the same night, and then a button where you could just like switch between the two.
Well, at the time for me, the TV that I had in my house, I had to literally get up and walk over to change the channel on.
Yeah.
So it was, there were nights where we would go back, like a commercial would happen on one and we'd swap to the other, but it was get up and walk up to the TV. It was really annoying.
That's where you gotta have one dude sit next to the TV. Like, that's your job.
Well, actually, I even at that time had a TV that was so terrible that I had to use a pair of needle nose pliers to turn it on.
Oh, I had Jesus. To
pull the knob out, but at one point I pulled too hard.
No!
And, you know, and the whole thing came out. This is how it was, kids.
Yeah.
Hashtag kids today. By the way, it's funny that you mentioned Doink the Clown and that WWF was like the stupider of the brands.
Yeah.
When you think back on some of the stuff WCW did, like now you think of it and you're like, that is so dumb. But yeah, they were doing. Didn't they have Gobbledygooker too? Like they didn't.
Gobbledygooker was around then. And by the way, Doink was over. I mean, people loved Doink. People loved Doink. It was just the time was changing. It was the 90s. It was about a real extreme, like streaming pornography. Real player. It's the 90s. Our presidents get their dicks sucked now.
They play saxophone on Arsenio Hall now.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, I will say, too, like, at that time, all the wrestlers were just characters, right? They were a thing, right? They were a cop or a Mountie or whatever.
Well, I mean, it started with Big Boss Man. Big Boss Man was the first one, and then they're just like, instead of just leaving good enough alone, the WWE or WWF at the time certainly could not. And so, yeah, you needed more. You needed the evil Mountie.
You had to have some sort of job.
Dumpster Duke the Dumpster draws, whatever.
Like you can't, it was funny because I think, I started thinking about, it was really WCW that like, I would watch and be like, yeah, these are like real guys. That guy's name is Scott Hall.
Yeah.
I know who that guy, he's just a fighter. Yeah, he's a bad guy, but he wasn't Razor Ramon anymore, right? Like Scott Hall. Yeah, so. It was it felt refreshing. Like all these guys were just their names and not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isaac Yankum, DDS, the Goon. The list goes on and on of the professions that the Repo Man. Which, by the way,
wasn't Kane actually a dentist at one point?
Well, Kane was Isaac Yankum. Isaac Yankum, DDS. Yeah.
I just opened that up. Yeah.
The first couple episodes of Raw centered around. The Repo Man repossessing things that were owned by various superstars, including, I think it was the second episode, it was Macho Man's hat that he repossessed. God knows what kind of flawed payment plan the Macho Man.
All right, what was the...
It was a good APR. Ooh, yeah.
This is kind of hilarious and making me want to go watch old Raws now. Monday Night Raw number one was so okay. Apparently, yeah, the Yokozuna defeats Coco Beware. That was the main event. Wow.
Yep.
1993. Okay.
And by the way, I would highly recommend everybody go listen to the Something to Wrestle With podcast with Bruce Pritchard about. The start of Raw and those first few episodes, a ton of great information. Please do yourself a favor. He, despite doing a popular podcast that does nothing but go into the dirty laundry of everything WWF, will be back tonight as Brother Love for the 25th anniversary. It's a pretty amazing achievement that he's going to be back there.
That's cool. That's really cool.
All right, Willie. Well, let's go ahead and get into our philosophical question of the week.
So this week we're gonna rehash one that we didn't get to.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, I guess like a month ago now.
I know.
But essentially, this is like a true philosophical question that we're just going to plug wrestling into. This is one of the things you'll find. Like people discuss in philosophy courses.
I was gonna say this
college.
This feels like a final prompt.
Sure. Yeah. Write three paragraphs on the following topic. So the real question uses the words art. We of course know that wrestling and art, you could just plug those back and into each other.
Same
interchangeable thing. Words, 100%. So what benefits does wrestling provide society? Does wrestling hurt society in any way? So this is the interesting thing. Okay, because like I wanna go ahead and I wanna remove the answer entertainment.
Yeah.
From the playing field here.
Yeah.
if that's a possible answer, let's just pull that one out. Let's say, yeah, we get that one. That everybody knows.
As a benefit. What else? As a benefit.
Yeah, but what else?
In my mind, art is a byproduct of society. It is the reflection of society. Now, it's not an exact reflection, but it is a reflection of the time and place. Even when it is crass and commercial, it means that there is money to be had, right? So what benefit does art provide society is to give us the shape of society itself. And wrestling specifically has always done that for a very specific element of our population. By and large, working class, but not necessarily limited to that. In general, wrestling is for everybody who identifies with struggle, everybody who identifies with a slow march toward progress, if you're going to get really heady about it. So does art hurt society in any way? I would say that, like all art, you know, you can have something, you can have up with people in the same basket as, you know, Leni Riefenstahl and say that, like, yeah, propaganda hurts people. But in general, that's just art, again, showing us the shape of what society really is. So
it's provoking, right? Yeah. And that's okay. If you want to say that that's some sort of a detriment, provocation is a detriment, then yeah, you kind of just remove any form of true art from, like, just it's being allowed to exist, right? If you're like, oh, we can't have it provoke things, like, well, that's, it's gonna do that because you, everybody will interpret it in their own way, right? Like, I could interpret wrestling as just, I just like to watch people punch each other, fake sure. punch each other, right?
Yeah.
And you could be like, that's fine. You're enjoying the hell out of that. That's great. And then you, on the other hand, can go on, you know, 30-minute diatribes about the song Mr. Ass, right?
Like, yes, exactly.
And these are both completely valid responses to, like, what you're bringing up, which is it holding society back up on itself, right? Like, literally just here's a mirror. Take a peek at what's going on, right? And yeah. That to me is what good art kind of always does, whether that be music, whether that be painting, whether that be performance art. And in this case, it is it literally just performance art.
It's yes.
People performing, right? So,
but
I think you're right. I think for me as a kid, one of the things that was really intriguing about it, besides just, you know, cool guys beating each other up, was the element of, you always rooted against the man and you rooted for the underdog, right?
Yeah.
Like the proletariat was the hero always. And
yeah.
And to me, that was just like that's how I feel. And this is telling me that story over and over and over again. And oh my God, I love this. Right. So the benefit for me was just like, I'm getting to see the story that I want. Like, it's like reaffirming beliefs that I was starting to form as a young man, right? Like, as a teenager, someone who is, you know, even as young as, like, I don't know, before I was like 8 or 9 years old when I first started to get into it, right?
Yeah.
It was kind of giving me the story that I was already kind of forming in my head as I saw the world around me. So it definitely benefited me, I think, in kind of interpreting that more, right? Thinking through it more. And then watching it play out in this cartoonish manner, but sure. still it reflecting exactly that to me. So,
I mean, if anything, the one thing I've always said about wrestling as an art is you can learn a lot of storytelling from pro wrestling. Like just the elemental beats of man versus man, you know, like that's something that, you know, in every script, every screenplay, every short film, every feature, everything has someone does something, then there's conflict in the middle, right? Like, do they resolve, do they get what they aim for or not, right? Pro wrestling, and when you look at it on those levels, does more silent storytelling than almost anything. And people write it off because of the package that it comes in. But if you do, I think you do it at your peril. Now, to go to the other side of this, what does art hurt society in any way? And look, I've watched a lot of these 90s Raws, a lot of these 90s Nitros. You look at out into the crowd, right, of this beloved Attitude Era that we all remember so fondly, and there's quite a lot of signs that would be not allowed into the arena this time. You know, specifically with anybody who was a bad guy and might not match the largest, most onerous definitions of masculinity. Like, you know, like Shawn Michaels or Jeff Jarrett or something like that. Plenty of they're gay, they blow each other, Triple H too, you know, plenty of all that.
Sure.
So here's
which I find hilarious. It's to me, it's akin to, you know, guys who love football talking down on nerds who like, you know, Dungeons and Dragons. It's like, you know, you kind of do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's funny to you know, watch oiled men fight each other and be like, but this isn't gay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like,
yeah, but that one's gay. Look, right. He does gay stuff.
Yeah.
But here's,
but, you know, yeah, it's funny because that, but I think that one of the interesting things about that is you can also kind of put that as like, you can look at that both ways. Like, yeah, there might be some reinforcement of that culture because maybe they feel that they have to justify the fact that they watch men in underpants fight each other by being super not gay, right? Which yeah. to a lot of men growing up was by calling other people gay. That's how you yeah. prove you're not gay, right?
Yeah.
Call other people gay.
Yeah. That way everybody knows. Nobody's confused.
Sure. But maybe, just maybe, some of those men who were having their friends call them gay or all this stuff happening in the locker rooms and things like that would then watch two presented as very heterosexual men not have a problem ripping each other by the crotch so that they could throw each other over their heads and being like, you know, maybe it's fine to be to hug another man. Maybe it's like totally like, I don't know, like.
I'm not going to go that far.
Either way you want, right?
I think that's bad. That is a sign, and certainly the WWF didn't do a lot to discourage, people from getting that kind of heat. If you look at how they went with Goldust, like I think Goldust is one of the most punk rock insane like things that has ever happened on a major platform in American television history. But there was some stuff that they did that was like, you know, specifically inappropriate in an era of like, you know, Matthew Shepard, for example.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of gay panic stuff.
And
That being said, here would be my interpretation of that. Does art have the ability to hurt us? I would say it only has the ability to hurt us that we have the capacity to hurt ourselves. If you look at all the things that are ugly about those signs, if you look at all the things about some of those characters and how they were played, they're all issues that we as society had to deal with. Wrestling Sure. didn't invent homophobia. Wrestling didn't invent these horrifying tendencies. Did they tolerate them? Yeah, yeah, probably. Did they make money off them? Almost assuredly. But they existed. And maybe I'm coming around to your side, Willie, because at the end of the day, at least we talked about it. And now
that's true.
Things
yeah,
are
yeah, at least it was presented to you in some form or another. And you know, one of the things that I was maybe going to bring up as a potential detriment that wrestling itself, not just art in general, but wrestling specifically, is, you know, little kids doing things like RKOing each other and things like that, right? But before wrestling existed, little boys and little girls were hurting each other on playgrounds.
That's
so just because we then showed them, oh, you can do this move, didn't necessarily like make that worse or better, right? So again, it's like it's just reflecting things that we as people just already do to ourselves, right? So
and also maybe that's a sign for if I had a kid and I was showing him pro wrestling, I would like to get to the point, at the point that they're horsing around with their friends at the playground, I'd like to get to the point where, hey, look, this isn't real, but there's a reason why this looks so awesome. You should think about why it looks so awesome and understand that the real fun here isn't hurting your friends. It's making yourself look hurt and making yourself look like you've hurt your friends. That's that's why you like this. That's what you should think about.
Yes. So don't actually go out there and really RKO your friends.
Don't really RKO your friends.
If there's any, there's one takeaway from this conversation. Don't really RKO your friend, everybody.
And if and if you do, please make sure it comes from out of nowhere.
Otherwise, it's not really an RKO.
Otherwise, a telegraphed RKO.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's like a front-facing neck breaker.
And you should know the difference, God damn it.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just a cutter, and we know the difference there. All right. Well, that I think we got pretty deep. Probably a lot of people are like, wow, these guys really know how to nerd out about wrestling. And yes, we.
Welcome to the show, kids.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. All right. I'll tell you what. I do not know if we have the right. If we have the right melodica challenge. Let me see this one here. All right, so that was John Cena's.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. We already did that one. I think we already did that one, too. That was Dolph Ziggler. So let's see if we did this one as well. This is, what is it, 44, the new one? Is that what Trey's saying? Ah, God damn it. I don't have this one on the board. This was last week's then, or a month ago, whenever the last time we did this. Did you know that one, Willie?
Tip of my tongue. Oh man. Oh God, it's right there. I can't actually think of it though. I'm actually thinking of the sound of the song in my head. It's not Ryback, is it?
Oh, hold on. I'm bringing up the final results here. Let's see. You got it. It was Ryback.
Okay. Because I was that kind of rolling, chunking guitar thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, like shocking that you were able to get that one, considering that's like every modern WWE.
Yeah, kind of. So when I was originally going to do, I was going to make. Really, dude? He got very excited that I got that. When I was originally going to make like our own original song for this show, I basically just pulled the guitar out and just went like chung, 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 like a bunch of times. And just was like, one of these days I'm going to stumble across a riff that works. Got to settle down, Iggy. Oh my God. Hold on. My dog is freaking out.
This dog's going crazy. Well, I'll tell you what. Trying to find where I have the rest of these. We will be able to do this last one, but maybe we'll save that for the end. Until then, Willie, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, you can check me out on Twitter. I'm at Willie Dills, and twitch.tv/WillieDills is where you can check out me streaming the Hearthstones. I'll probably have to miss tonight because of my voice being a little bit screwy and just trying to get my schedule back on. I'm going to watch Raw and then we'll see how I'm feeling afterwards. I might do a few hours if I can't go to bed, but, you will see me there the rest of the week, doing lots and lots of the Hearthstone action. There's ton, like, it's funny because this expansion, I got a little concerned about 3 weeks in that I didn't like it anymore. I was over the meta. And then this World Championship recently just made me fall in love again with Hearthstone. So
now what was the hotness?
It wasn't necessarily that I saw some deck that was amazing or anything, but it was just the level of play, right?
Yeah.
Like the amount of stuff I'm still missing after this long playing Hearthstone.
Yeah.
That these guys all see, right? So it's exciting to me that like there's one of the things that I love in just anything that I do is just improving at it. If I could continue to get better at something, then that's what's most intriguing to me. And there's plenty more to get better at here, so try to do that.
So you're like, well, I thought I had it all going on, right? And then all of a sudden these guys are going crazy.
I thought I get it. You just hit the face. But no, apparently there's more to it. All
right. what is the hotness deck-wise for you?
It's probably the Control Mage. The Control Mage is really interesting to me. Because at first I looked at that deck and I didn't understand how it won games. And now I'm starting to see it.
Now you're starting to see see where it goes. Well, you want to know what? Crap. I was hoping that we'd be able to... I'd be able to stall you long enough that I could bring up this thing, but unfortunately, I think I'll just have to play it for everybody here because you can't hear it over the computer. Here is this week's Melodica Challenge. All right. This was maybe my favorite one. We'll see if you guys will be able to figure out why. Willie, I'll have to send it to you so you can listen to it. I'd like to ask you what you thought, but you can't hear it. Oh, well. Eventually, we'll get back to doing this this thing good. I think we're going to wrap it up a little early so we can watch a little bit of this here. Raw 25th anniversary. Any final thoughts on the week that was in wrestling?
It's been great. Go out there and watch some of that Japanese wrestling. Go watch you some NXT because there's some really fun stuff going on right now there. I've been watching. I haven't missed an NXT in 2018.
Oh, look at that.
I don't think I'm going to for a while. It's getting
hot. It's hot.
There.
It's hot.
Yeah.
It's hot. All right. Do me a favor. Also, here's another thing that I want to start doing. I want to start highlighting wrestling outfits on Twitch. So we all know the ones that we love. Hood Slam, Wrestle Circus. If you guys are out there and you are watching new wrestling, free wrestling on Twitch, promotions that are streaming right here, then I want to hear about them because I think we can feature them here. I don't know if anybody else is doing the kind of coverage on this element of the indie scene, and I think it's probably the most accessible that there is right now, aside from the WWE Network. So go ahead and hit me up, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Until next time, folks.
I want you to call me World of Wrestling's latest.
My name is Justin Robert Young. He is Willie Dills Gregory. This is 1-900 Wrestling.
Remember the number one.
Be dialing.
Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God, Donald.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.